I'd like you to turn to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. For many of us, the Psalms are often a great source of comfort to us. Many of those Psalms, of course, were written by David. And many of the Psalms were written during some pretty dark days in David's life. And David is very transparent in the Psalms. He really expresses his thoughts and his feelings often. As king, he was constantly under attack, both from within his own nation of Israel, as well as outside of the nation of Israel and the enemies of Israel. And he was constantly under attack, and he expresses his thoughts, he expresses his feelings during those dark days. He obviously is asking God for protection and for deliverance. Very transparent. And Psalm 13 is no exception. David wonders, how long is God going to remain silent? How long is God going to remain in action? And so let's read that, Psalm 13. How long will you forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. In this psalm, just six verses, I see in verses 1 and 2, the problem. Verses 3 and 4, the prayer. Verses 5 and 6, the praise. So we have the problem, the prayer, and the praise. We really do not know the circumstances behind this psalm particularly, the specific circumstances. We just know that it's obviously a dark time in the life of David. And he struggles with it both emotionally and spiritually. And he expresses that problem in verses 1 and 2, but then we see the prayer and the praise. Let's bow in prayer. Guide us, Father, this evening as we would look at this psalm. May it be a source of encouragement to us. Certainly, we go through dark days also. We go through those deep valleys, as David did. May we learn from David. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. David expresses the problem, the struggle that he's having, with four questions. How long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long am I going to be filled with sorrow while I try to counsel myself? And how long will my enemy exalt himself over me? Four questions in which he expresses his thoughts and his feelings. He's struggling because it seems as though God is being silent and he's being inactive. And so he struggles with God's silence and non-action. He feels, first of all, as though God has forgotten him. How long will you forget me, O Lord, forever? He feels as though God has forgotten all about him. And he wonders out loud, are you going to forget me forever? Will you ever remember me again? Have you ever felt that way in your life? Things are going such difficult and such a trial and such a valley. And it's like, Lord, have you forgotten all about me? Do you remember I'm even here? Will you ever remember me again? Or have you forgotten me forever? And that's David's expression here. Will you ever remember me again? Forever have you forgotten me? Do you even know that I exist? Do you know what's going on in my life, Lord? How long will you forget me? And then a second question, how long will you hide your face from me? Basically, it's the idea, you've turned your back on me. You're hiding your face from me and you've turned your back on me. It's not so much in this question, not so much that God has forgotten him, but it's more the idea, God, you're ignoring me. God, you've turned your back on me. You don't care. You don't care what I'm going through. You don't care the difficulties that I'm having. You don't care that people are against me. it's almost worse, isn't it? Which is worse, that God has forgotten me, or he hasn't forgotten me, he just doesn't care? It's really that second one is probably even more difficult, isn't it? It's one thing to be forgotten, but it's another thing to be remembered, but ignored. None of us like to be ignored, especially when we're hurting. We want somebody to care. We want somebody to have some sympathy for us and to know what we're going through. And David here struggles with God and says, do you even care? It's like you've turned your back on me and you're just ignoring me. And then he says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? This struggle that David was going through here, it was a daily struggle. He was daily filled with sorrow. It's like his whole life was just overwhelmed with this circumstance that he was going through and the sorrow that he was feeling. And it's like he's trying to counsel himself. He says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? He's trying to encourage himself. He's trying to counsel himself. He's trying to convince himself that God hasn't forgotten him. He's trying to convince himself that God's not ignoring him, but he's not having much success. He's still filled with sorrow. And no doubt he knew better. He knew that God would never forget him. He knew that God would never just ignore him. And he knew better that God really did care. But he tried to counsel himself in that truth, and it wasn't helping. And he was still filled with that sorrow. His feelings were overwhelming him. And then he says, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How long is my enemy going to have the upper hand? How long is the enemy going to at least appear to be winning and I'm being defeated? How long is the enemy going to be victorious over me? How long am I going to be losing this battle? David felt like he was losing the battle, that he was just being buried under this situation that he was facing, this circumstance. And he says, Lord, in essence, why aren't you doing something about it? Again, your silence and your inaction. You know, you could put down my enemy. You could give me the victory, but you're not doing it. And how long is my enemy going to be victorious here? How long is he going to be winning this battle while I'm being defeated? And again, I think probably part of that is, Lord, if you really cared, you wouldn't allow this enemy to have this victory over me. If you really cared, you wouldn't allow me to be losing this battle. If you hadn't forgotten about me, maybe I'd be victorious, but I'm being defeated. The enemy is having the upper hand on me. You're not responding. And so David lays out his complaint in these four questions. And again, probably most of us can relate to it at times in our lives. Maybe we wouldn't express it exactly as David has expressed it here, but David was struggling emotionally, spiritually, struggling with God's silence, struggling with God's inaction. God, why aren't you doing something? God, why aren't you responding? So he lays out his problem. Come to verses 3 and 4, and we see his prayer. And first, his prayer is, consider and hear me. Your translation may put it a little differently. Look upon me and answer me. But the idea is consider me, look on my situation. Basically, Lord, don't keep ignoring me. That's his prayer. He says, it seems like you're ignoring me. Lord, don't ignore me. Lord, don't forget about me. I'm still here. Remember me, consider me, look upon me, think about me. And then hear me. Basically, it's the idea, answer my prayer. No longer be silent. When he says, consider me, it's the idea of you know, remember me. Don't forget about me. That was his first complaint there. How long are you going to forget me? And when he says, consider me, he's basically saying, don't forget me. And then when he says, hear me, he's saying, don't ignore me. So that's his request. He's saying, God, please respond. Don't be silent anymore. Act. And then he says, Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Enlighten my eyes. I believe here his request is, Lord, help me understand what's going on. Help me to understand your perspective. Enlighten me to the truth. Again, as he prays, I think he's beginning to realize, you know, God's not going to forget me. God's not going to just ignore me. But God, help me to see this from your perspective. Help me understand. Right now, I'm overwhelmed with these feelings. Enlighten my eyes to your truth. Enlighten my eyes to the reality of what's really going on. Not just what I can see, but what I can't see from your perspective. Enlighten my eyes. I want to see this differently than what I'm seeing it right now. Enlighten my eyes. If you don't enlighten my eyes, Lord, I think I'm going to die. He says, I'm going to sleep the sleep of death. If I don't see this differently, it's going to kill me. Again, David's being very, very transparent, but he's praying, consider me. Don't forget me. Hear me. Don't ignore me. Enlighten my eyes. Help me to see the truth. Help me to see this as you see it. Help me to see it from your perspective. And then he says, lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. In essence, he's saying, God, if you don't step in, then my enemy will triumph over me. God, if you don't step in and do something, if you don't act, if you don't respond, then my foes, my adversaries, are certainly going to be rejoicing over me when I'm defeated. In essence, in verse 4, he's really expressing his total dependence upon God. He's at the low point, and there's nothing he can do about this circumstance. Again, whatever this circumstance may be here, he realizes he can't do anything about it. And so he's expressing total dependence upon God. God, if you don't step in, if you don't respond, if you don't do something, my enemy will triumph over me. My foes and adversaries will rejoice over me. They will have the victory because there's nothing more I can do. There's probably a little hint there, at least to me it seems like there's a hint there God, if you don't step in and do something, not only will I be defeated, but God, your name is going to be affected too. Because everybody knows that you are my God. And if I am defeated, then that reflects upon you as my God. It doesn't specifically say that, but it tends to, I believe, hint to that thought here. God, you need to step in and you need to give a great victory here so that your name will be glorified. Otherwise, the enemy is going to rejoice over me, and as they rejoice over me, they're going to rejoice over my God. And so I believe there's that hint in this prayer as well. So he says, remember me, consider me, hear me, respond to me, don't ignore me. Let me see the truth. Don't let my enemies have victory over me. Don't let my foes rejoice over me. And God, don't let them rejoice over you. That's his prayer. And then his praise. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. He makes a conscious, intentional choice. I will trust. I will rejoice. And I will sing. I will trust, I will rejoice, and I will sing. He makes a conscious choice, he makes an intentional choice. It's not that his feelings have changed here. He's still feeling overwhelmed. He's still feeling like God's not responding, God's forgotten me. He's still feeling God has ignored him and doesn't care. He's still feeling he's filled with sorrow and the counsel he's given himself isn't helping. He's still feeling like his enemy is winning, and yet he makes a conscious, intentional choice. I'm still going to trust. I'm still going to rejoice. And I'm still going to sing. regardless of how I might be feeling. I say that as I think about Hebrews chapter 13, and we've mentioned this many times, Hebrews 13 and verses 15 and 16, where it talks about the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. And we've said many times that what the sacrifice of praise, what does that mean? How is praise a sacrifice? And certainly we could say, well, you know, it takes a little time and effort to praise God, and so there's a sacrifice of time and effort, but I don't think that's the main thought there. I think the main thought is more, I need to sacrifice my feelings. And I see that's what David's doing here. He's still overwhelmed with his feelings, but he makes an intentional choice to sacrifice those feelings and trust God, rejoice in God, and then to sing to God as he sacrifices his feelings. And as he sacrifices those feelings and he begins to trust God, and as he begins to rejoice and to sing to the Lord, those feelings are going to change. And I believe that's what we see in this psalm as David sacrifices his feelings. He said, I will trust in your mercy, or again, your translation, I will trust in your loving kindness, or I will trust in your unfailing love. This is a word that was used in the Old Testament often to refer to God's covenant loyalty. God was loyal to his covenant. He made covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with David himself, made a covenant with the nation of Israel. And this word is used to refer to the loyalty, the faithfulness that God had to his covenants. Again, God had made a covenant with David himself. David says, you know what, I'm going to make a conscious choice to trust in God's covenant loyalty. And in the covenant specifically that he had made with David, God had promised that he would never forget David or his seed. That there would be one who would sit upon the throne of David forever. God would not forget. God would not ignore. God does care. And though David was overwhelmed with those feelings, he said, you know what, I'm going to trust in the unfailing love of God. I'm going to trust in his covenant loyalty. I'm going to trust in his faithfulness to his promises. And he began to meditate upon God's covenant loyalty. He says, I'll trust in you. Then he says, I will rejoice in your salvation. I don't believe here he's thinking about spiritual salvation specifically. I think the word salvation here is just deliverance. And he says, I'm going to trust in your deliverance. God has delivered me in the past. As David begins to meditate upon God's deliverance from the past, and he says, I'm going to trust in your deliverance now. Whatever the circumstance that David was facing, it had him weighed down. His enemies were against him. But he says, I'm going to trust in God's deliverance. He's delivered me in the past, and I believe he's going to deliver me now. And he begins to meditate upon that deliverance. And he began to rejoice in past deliverance so that he then could rejoice in present deliverance. In Philippians chapter 4, where it talks about be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ. And again, I just love that thought that when we're feeling anxious, when we're worrying, and we want the peace of God, we have that peace when we come to him in prayer with thanksgiving. Part of that victory over anxiety and that victory over worry is not just prayer alone, but prayer with thanksgiving. Thanking God for past victories. Thanking God for past deliverances. Whatever it is we're worried about, whatever it is that we are filled with anxiety about, we need to remember that in the past when we've had anxiety, God gave us victory. God delivered us. And so with thanksgiving, we thank him for past deliverance as we're dealing with the current situation. And I see that's what David's doing here. He said, I'm going to rejoice in your salvation. I'm going to rejoice in the past deliverances that you've given me so that I can then rejoice in the present deliverance that you'll give me. Prayer with thanksgiving is victory over anxiety. And then verse 6, I will sing unto the Lord. And notice the word Lord there is Yahweh. It's all capital letters. I'll sing unto Yahweh. I'll sing unto that eternal, self-existent, always existent, covenant, loyal God. That's who I'm going to sing to. I'm going to sing praises to Him. I'm going to be reminded of who He really is. I am who I am, Yahweh, Jehovah. I am who I am. And David says, I'm going to sing to the great I am, the one who is eternal, the one who is the great I am from eternity past to eternity future. He sees everything as one big present, and I'm going to sing to that God, the one who's in control of all things, Yahweh. I'm going to sing to Yahweh, the one who is. And so in essence, he says, I'm going to sing to Him, for He has dealt bountifully with me. I'm going to remember His bountiful goodness to me, and I'm going to sing about it. I'm going to sing about how Yahweh is indeed in control. He's the great I am. In all of this, it seems as though David is saying, while I wait, I will worship. While I wait, I will worship. You know, how long will you forget me? How long are you going to hide your face from me? How long shall I counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted? You know, he's, Lord, when are you going to respond? He's waiting for God's response. He's waiting for God's action. And then he concludes, while I wait, I will worship. He states his problem, he prays for response and for answer, and then he praises God. And he says, while I wait, I will worship. Obviously, we need to be reminded that the silence of God does not mean the absence of God, does it? Just because it seems like he's silent, it doesn't mean he's absent. The silence of God does not mean the inaction of God. Doesn't mean he's absent. It doesn't mean he's not working behind the scenes. We may not see it. You know, I think the greatest example of that is the book of Esther, isn't it? As most of you know, the book of Esther, it's the only book in the Bible where the name God doesn't appear anywhere. The word God does not appear. The name of God appears nowhere in the book of Esther. And yet the whole book is all about God working behind the scenes. God is active. He's silent. He doesn't say anything. But he certainly is not inactive. And we need to remember that in our circumstances, in our situations, in our challenges and difficulties in life. Sometimes it may seem like God's being silent, but he's never inactive. He is always at work. And he's always at work in our behalf. I can't help but think of Isaiah chapter 40, and we're familiar with the last verse of Isaiah chapter 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. And as we think of Isaiah 40, we need to look at the context of that verse. You know, we quote that verse often, and it's a precious verse to us, but study the context. In Isaiah chapter 40, we see the great God who is majestic and who is omnipotent and who is omniscient and the God who is sovereign, who is in absolute control. It talks about the heavens and the stars, and it's in that context. And not only that, but this God who is incomparable, this God who is omniscient and omnipotent, and this God who is majestic, and this God who is sovereign and in absolute control, guess what? In Isaiah 40, that God loves me. And that's emphasized in Isaiah 40, verse 11. You know, it's great to have a God out there in the universe someplace who is sovereign, And a God who is omniscient, and a God who's omnipotent, and a God who's majestic. You know, it's great to have that God, but If that God doesn't love me, then what difference does it make? But if that God loves me, then can I wait on him? He's in control. So I can wait on him to act in a way that is best for me, and I know he will because he loves me. And so we see from Psalm 13, David coming around to saying, you know what, I'm going to trust in that God. I'm going to trust in Yahweh, the God who is in absolute control, and I'm going to rejoice in his salvation. I'm going to rejoice in his deliverance. I've seen his love for me in the past, and he still loves me. And I'm going to rejoice in that deliverance, and I'm going to sing unto Yahweh. I'm going to sing unto that God who loves me and that God who is in absolute control. Regardless of how I'm feeling at any given moment, I'll sacrifice those feelings. I will trust, I will rejoice, and I will sing. While I wait, I will worship. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your patience with us. And earlier we read from Isaiah chapter 30 where you told Israel that their strength was to sit still, to wait on you. And Father, may we have that strength tonight, that we would wait on you, and while we wait, may we worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Father, you know every heart here. You know the struggles. You know the circumstances. You know the situation that we'll all face this week as we face those challenges. Help us to wait upon you. To wait upon your promises, to wait upon your deliverance, to wait upon your action. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good evening. May God bless you.